Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. He made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
Mike, you realize there was a time where Vernon Carey would have been the overwhelming number one pick in the NBA draft.
Yeah. They're talking about him as like the Heat have a shot at him in the second round.
I mean, I think he had better numbers than Ewing his freshman year.
What happened there? Tony, do you know what happened there?
Yeah, the Warriors.
With Vernon Carey?
I have no idea. He was like the most dominant force I've ever seen and then all of a sudden dropped off at the face of the planet.
No, guys, I'm telling you, his numbers are comparable with Ewing and Olajuwon freshman year. It's just the game has changed. And he hasn't hit the outside shot.
It's fine to say comparable, right? Because I sort of switch between that and comparable. Dan?
I say comparable.
But is this a tomato-tomato situation?
I've never heard it comparable. I've only heard it as comparable.
Well, you just heard it. I said it.
Is this a dumb people thing?
Which is it for you guys? I know I might be wrong. I don't know about this stuff.
You're never wrong.
No, what I often do is because I don't hear words pronounced and I'm more often just reading them than I'm actually hearing them when I learn them, I pronounce words wrong all the time. Let's go around the room here. There's no Roy today. Roy is out. He will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow he'll be back.
Yeah, if he undergoes a successful procedure.
A procedure, a mysterious procedure?
He's seeing Dr. James Andrews right now.
He's not talking about the specifics of the procedure?
No, he's getting a second opinion.
I saw a sick day on the calendar like 3 months ago for today, and I was wondering, how does he know? Yeah. I mean,
Tommy John.
Right.
Should we recklessly speculate, or is that like a violation of some sort?
I'm already uncomfortable. We're probably revealing something that he didn't want to reveal.
No, we discussed it on yesterday's local hour briefly. It's something in the deviated septum region, and it's, he plans to be back tomorrow, but he left the possibility that he's not.
We're not going to see him for 3 weeks because he's on next week for Thanksgiving. And he says, like, well, normally it's a couple days recovery. It's like, well, you only took a day. So I would say we'll see Roy in December.
Botch surgery.
Yeah. Wow. Don't wish that upon anybody. How do you guys say comparable? Do you say comparable or comparable? Tony, you go first.
I say comparable.
Billy.
Comparable.
Chris.
In a shocking upset, I also say comparable.
All right, so we all say it except for Stugat says
comparable.
It. Comparable.
Comparable. Yeah, a bunch of kiss asses.
I mean, I used to. I'm the only lifeline you got here, pal. But I've since stopped doing it that way, and I like my allies on this side over here. Uncomparable.
As you should.
We are going to have Ricky Williams later on in the show today. My nemesis, Richard Lewis, is going to join us as well. I really enjoy I'm not kidding you when I say this, and I know many of you are like, Richard Lewis, what are you guys doing? He's shouting about Carnegie Hall. That's an old guest. What I really do love, I don't know which one of these is the most flattering. Yes, Billy, you have something on Richard Lewis because you love calling him, right?
Well, it's a huge week. I mean, he's our Ohio State insiders. You know, obviously he proved last time and Ohio State's taking on Indiana. So this has just been quite a season for Ohio State and quite a season for Richard Lewis.
Yeah. Okay, so we will talk to him about that. The University of Miami season appears to be over. Who knows if they're going to play another game?
Yeah, it's difficult to tell. And it's not just their own problems. And believe me, they got problems over at the University of Miami. It's the other college football teams and just the general way the nation's going. Guys, this is actually worse. This college football season is actually going worse than I feared when they decided to do it. And I didn't think it was the greatest idea.
Well, and the pandemic's about to get worse from what it seems like. We keep trending in the wrong direction. If you're reading some of the horror details in El Paso, where they're using, where the bodies are piling up and they're using prisoners as workforce in order to keep dead bodies refrigerated.
I have a very crude way of knowing whether or not Miami's got a problem because on my way home, I drive past what used to be Santa's Enchanted Forest around this time, but now it's a COVID testing site. And every day the line has gotten bigger and bigger. I'm like, wow, we set a new record. And now the line is just astronomical, and it's got me worried. And Miami's not typically the type of town that's like, okay, well, I'll do the responsible thing. It's Thanksgiving. Let me just get for a peace of mind. That's not how Miami rolls. If you're in that line, I feel pretty positive you're either doing this for a job, travel, or you got symptoms.
I cannot tell you, as I have seen what has happened around America here, and we had warning, and we just handled this literally worse than any country in the world, Stugat.
Yep.
You can say, based on the way that things have gone on this one, that we are, as a median, as a, just an average intelligence in our country, morons.
Mm-hmm.
Like the average, if you just take everybody and throw it into the average is going to be, holy bleep, are we dumb?
I don't help that average. I mean.
No, you weigh it down.
Yeah, I do. I mean,
I'm not sure. I think that actually Stugatz might pull it. Given what I've seen recently, he's been irresponsible, okay?
How?
Well, just flying in and out in a tube on occasion.
Airplane travel's safe. I read a safety report done by the airline industry.
Travel's safe. It's great. It's easy. It's convenient. And I'm telling you, 2 weeks, two tests. Anyone else on this show done that? Negative.
But you needed the test to get to work, which is why the line, it's why Santa's Enchanted Forest is now a COVID testing center. It's because so many people need to get it. They need to have paperwork in order to get into work.
So the virus has an incubation period. It's not like when you test negative in that moment, you might actually be carrying it and be able to test positive several days after. But the good news with you being reckless and traveling
another
every
test,
week, you have another test.
Yep, coming up this Monday. Looking forward to it.
Mike,
yep.
Look, you came in here, and I am speaking into the mask right now because of what we're talking about. So if I sound a little muffled, forgive me, because I've got a mask on.
No, experts say you can actually get the virus if you're talking about it, more likely to, anyways.
If I'm talking about it, there's
Well, it's kind of weird. You started the hour without a mask. I'm pretty sure you're screwed either way at this point.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, I'll take it off then. But what I was going to say about Stugatz, that one of the many things that are disgusting about Stugatz, and God, I laughed so hard the other day when Sedano wished me a happy anniversary and sent out a photo that Stugatz is in the middle of. And you look like such a debaucherous mess. Your shirt's way too big. It's open to your nipples, and also I'm pretty sure you are the only person at my wedding who was wearing sneakers.
Yeah, I was. I got there at 11:15. I mean, what do you want? I took a shower in the neighbor's driveway. I mean, I don't know what you want from me.
Now, Marty Smith,
I was there, though.
Smith had J's. Right. Reale had some nice kicks, too.
Yeah. So Stugatz, though, comes in here today, and it's not the first time he's done this, and he's seen me a million different times, and this is just the Stugatz way, and it's our dynamic. He barrels through, and I have to make the accommodations for his waddling, whether it's grabbing something out of the fridge and bending over and rubbing his ass crack near me or anything else. But he comes in here, and we're in a tight room, and the first thing he does, and Stugatz, you might want to put on your mask for this I do this, because I was making fun of you. I burst out laughing as soon as you came in. We're in a tight space. It's confined. We are 6 feet apart, but that seems kind of random to me. I don't know why the scientist didn't say 7 feet or 5 feet. I'm not sure about 6 feet exactly, but 6 feet is what we're at. And Stugatz comes in here and is
doing his vocal exercises. That's which right. His vocal exercises is just spreading the virus potentially.
I mean, you should have a mask on. I don't know what to tell you.
One of my favorite things about this studio is that, I mean, I measured everything to the absolute limits of 6 feet, because it's not a big studio. There's not a lot of space. You guys are spaced out as far as humanly possible. And it was fine for everybody. And then we started on TV, and everyone's like, whoa, they're too close together. I'm like, guys, this was okay for you. I sent multiple pictures again that it's 6 feet. I'm like, why don't you just put like a divider there, like a plastic shield?
Right.
Oh, we can't do that.
Oh,
no. We can't at all do
why
that.
Why can't we do that?
I don't know, man. They just said that they can't. So
I mean,
here we
should,
are.
Though, because I'm negative. Dan hasn't been tested.
You're
I'd
worried
like
about
to
yourself.
Know. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, Dan's being pretty irresponsible right now.
It would be pretty hard for me to be less reckless than I am about this thing.
Yeah, but it's impossible for our state to be less reckless. We're the only state without any. It's amazing to me. We are the only state, Dan, that doesn't have to wear a mask. We're the only state that has no restrictions.
That's not true. You should look at what's going on in the Dakotas right now, because the leadership there refuses to make it, to issue any sort of mask mandates, even though I read this stat and it's the internet, but they, North and South Dakota, got it bad. One in every 1,000 people now are hospitalized and in very serious condition, passing away from this virus in the Dakotas.
This is headed toward another shutdown, another mandatory shutdown, because these numbers continue to go crazy. And I have no earthly idea. How long have you guys been working from home? And what have been the headaches involved and the changes involved, Chris and Billy and Tony, with your just your work lives working from home? Because one of the things that happens in a confined space, especially for creatives, these shows don't last this long, it's crazy, is being physically on top of each other. You guys must feel like some relief and some freedom in having work environments where you can actually spread out a little bit. But I don't know, which do you prefer? If going forward, I said, we have both choices. We can do the show in studio together, or we could keep doing it this way. Which would you guys choose? Do you prefer working from home?
I mean, there are benefits, obviously, the commute. I don't miss driving an hour each way every day. That's obvious. But I mean, from the show aspect, I feel like the show has suffered. So from that aspect, I'm talking about
your work life, though. I'm not even talking about the show. Oh. Like, it's always going to be good when we're on top of each other, but it's always going to be a tenser as well. Any creative environment is going to be tenser when everyone's physically on top of each other.
But then I feel like we also, like, you know, there's been, you know, we might be not as close as we. I just feel, I don't know, man.
All right, way to bail on the entire thought.
I can answer.
There's no right answer.
Chris, you've gotten so much worse since being fired.
Mike, I'm reading the Wall Street Journal this morning, and perhaps you're right, and Abby sent this to me. It says that Florida is the only state with no COVID-19 mandates in places among a list of 7 restrictions, meaning you don't have to wear a mask here. Your business could be open. It could be full capacity. They're the only state that's doing
it. It's a bit of a Wild West scenario right now in Florida. I found the set that I was looking for clumsily. North Dakota, this is courtesy of Newsweek. North Dakota COVID mortality rate is the highest in the world. 1 out of every 1,000 residents is dead. Jeez.
I think I can answer for Chris as he was stumbling there. There's pros and cons to everything, right? We've been working from home since March, essentially. So it's been like a blender of 8 months. I was listening back to shows that we did in March, and it sounds like we were doing them from a World War II radio, right? Like, it was so scratchy, so bad. And I feel like we've gotten to a really good place at doing the show in a pandemic. But given the choice for me, I would rather do the show in studio and all of us get tested regularly to make sure that everybody's safe, because I feel like that environment was so much more conducive to the show. Obviously, I feel like I'm cramped here at my house, right? Like, I'm in a corner. You guys can't see it, but like, I'm in a corner of my house on a little tiny desk. It's almost worse than what I had at the studio.
Billy, how about you?
It seems like I'm supposed to say I'd rather be in the studio, because that's what everyone else
No,
says.
It seems like you should answer the question honestly, which is why I was asking you. I'm really not interested
you
in agreement.
In.
I'd be fine with disagreement
this
there.
This is not a zig or zag situation. It's a global pandemic.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's different. It's been nice working from home. I mean, I've been able to see my wife's back working at her job. She's not working from home anymore, but it was nice. I had time with my wife. I had time with my dog. I can kind of set my own schedule, so I have breaks sometimes. I mean, I work longer hours where, like, regularly it's 10 o'clock at night and I'm still doing stuff, where before, you know, I'd leave the studio and I'd do some stuff, but not as much. But I don't know. There's pros and cons, I guess, to both things, but...
I mean, hold on a second. That's basically what I said. Pros and cons. I don't miss it a lot, but I wish we could...
I'm still unsure what you said.
Certain you said anything.
I said I don't miss the drive, but obviously being in the studio, it's a better show. That's what I said.
Billy, do you go a little stir crazy in the house?
Well, no, because I'm able to... I'll take extended breaks where before I'd just be kind of doing stuff and there's like deadlines, like, well, we have to have this by this time or that time, where now it's just kind of like, I feel like I just wake up, I start working, and then I'm working until I go to sleep. And then in between, there's like an hour or two here and there where I stopped working. But it seems like the days kind of all just blend in together, because it feels like the whole day I'm doing stuff for work, and I'll just take, instead of the typical, you know, 8-hour day or whatever it is, now it's like a 20-hour day, and there's like 4 or 5 hours in between where things aren't going on.
We're obviously,
if that makes sense.
No, it does. We're obviously very different. Like, I have immense respect for everybody working from home right now. I flatly would not be able to do it. People look at me like, wow, you've been traveling the entire time. You're crazy. I can't be in the house. I can't. I'm so thankful that I have this job, that I'm deemed an essential worker, that I never stayed in my house. I did it for like a couple of days during the shutdown. Obviously, I did it in the weekend, and I would just be like, and that's me like sitting by the pool, like hammering White Claws. I'm like, this is just not sustainable. I can't do this.
I'm with Mike. It's odd. I'm grateful. I'm nervous about it, and I'm thinking about it all the time, but I am grateful that I have a place to go to every day, even with a drive, which is not nearly as bad as it used to be. And I was more productive at home when I was doing the show from home, because right after the show was over, I would just start doing episodes of Stupidity the entire afternoon.
Oh, I have to keep busy. I need routines. And I'm curious, like, what Billy is doing in terms of routines. It's cool that he has breaks in there. I don't know if there's like a scheduled nap in there, and he sort of works. He gets everything done throughout the day over a wider span of hours, but I don't know in terms of, because I was really worried about the mental health aspects.
Well, that's what, yes, I got to think, Billy, I don't know what your preference would be, but I got to think that working 16-hour days is better than not working in some ways, just in order to keep some semblance of routine during a chaotic, weird time where a lot of people are having struggles with the mental health stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I'm not complaining at all about having to work longer days. I think it's fine because I'm kind of deciding when it is that I need to give myself a mental health break, or when it is that I need to, you know, step away for 30 minutes or so, or just go outside and take a walk just to kind of clear my mind. So, yeah, no, mental health wise, it hasn't been bad at all working the longer days. It's busy things, and keeping busy is obviously the best thing that you can do now, because it keeps you away from, you know, whatever negative thoughts or whatever it is that you may be going through.
Is it just me, or does everybody have like an existential crisis like once a week? Because I do have that the last 8 months where I've been dealing with, you know, like on a Wednesday, maybe today I might have my scheduled existential crisis, or like tomorrow, all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, the entire world is ending. Like, what are we really doing right here?
All right, put it on the poll, Guillermo. Are you during the pandemic having an existential crisis every week?
What's existential?
My relationship with my wife has honestly gotten better in this pandemic since she's gone back to work. And I don't say that jokingly, like just being too,
of course,
like, too
on top of
each other.
Yes, of course.
Yes. Like it has, like, that was the, honestly, like the roughest part at the peak of this, when we were both home and I had to like go in different rooms. Like now at least she's gone every day. So I've like gotten into a schedule where I don't feel as, you know, stressed out.
Among my friends, I have found that second most worried I am is for people who are living alone, the isolation, and respecting the fact that they're going to keep their distance from people. That's been second place in terms of my friends that I check in on that I'm concerned about. First place is people who are unhappily married. Because good God, if you're on top of each other, this is going to expedite all the sparks you have in your marriage if you are not compatible with the person you're with.
I've read stories, though, where it saved marriages. It has. Like, couples went into this maybe thinking about divorce, and because they've had time to sit down, talk, spend time with each other, rekindle, that it's actually saved some marriages.
Can we talk about your breath here? Or not your breath, although that too.
My breath's fine.
You sound today, and it was before
I yelled last night.
Before
it was a tough practice.
Phlegm, your voice sounds beat up. It sounds like it was dragged through a sewage pipe.
Yeah. Well, the other day you complimented me saying it's never sounded better, but
I've never said that about you. I've never said that.
I think that you just flatly lied right now.
No, he said
I've never said sounded better. But today, though, there's a gravelly quality. It feels like you've got chunks of sewage in your voice.
I do. Yes, I do. The reason for that is I'm on the tail end of a 3-week stretch here of lacrosse tournaments. I'm really
because you're being so responsible during the pandemic. Right?
I've been tested twice. I am a negative both times, and I am I'm nearing the end of this 3-week stretch. Last night, my team, who's feeling really good about themselves, they're undefeated. They're the only team in the top 10 who is undefeated. They needed a little kick in the rear end, if you know what I say. if you know what I mean. We had practice last night, and I was yelling from start to finish. I was yelling at the top of my lungs. I'm just telling you right now. A little kick in the ass, you know?
A vigorous sip of water.
I needed it. Just, I mean,
he
a lot
just
of
took
yelling.
A vigorous sip of water.
I'm a good coach. I mean, I really am. I'm a good coach. I'm a player's coach. I'm like Mike Tomlin, but occasionally I could turn into Chuck Knoll, you know? Just start screaming at everyone.
I read a nugget about Mike Tomlin, which really spins like that whole Myles Garrett situation in a new direction. He plays Words with Friends a lot, and he plays it with Myles Garrett.
Oh.
You mentioned the phrase, put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Is the phrase global pandemic redundant? Because I think it's redundant, but I haven't looked it up, and I'm not
well,
totally
also,
sure.
I don't think it's a totally global pandemic, because New Zealand and Australia seem to be handling it all right.
We are not handling anything all right. I am worried about what the next 10 months are going to look like and how much worse they can be than the previous 10 months, although the news of a vaccine or the approaching 95% success rate of a vaccine is something that is highly encouraging. I would
Dan, did you notice that the Dolly Parton one, it hit the market and they had the 95% success rate, which is 1% higher.
Yeah, it's it's Moderna, and then all of a sudden Pfizer got in there. Wait a minute, we're first. And then Bezos is saying, hey, I'm getting into pharmacies. Yeah. Bezos is saying, hey, I got to pour some of this money into the pharmacy competition.
So I don't think Moderna is something that is created out of Navarro. It was an interesting accent that you put on it. But all right, so Pfizer had 94, Moderna had 95, and then Pfizer did another study on their same vaccine. And guess what? Pfizer up to 95. They weren't going to be outdone by Dolly Parton, Dan.
Wow. It is redundant, Dan, by the way, just so you know. I checked it for you.
Oh, I thought maybe you just knew off the top of your head.
No, I went to redundancy.com.
Before we get away from medicines and vaccines and drugs and all of that stuff, this is somewhat related. Why is Khloe Kardashian on my TV telling me how to get rid of migraines with some medicine that she takes? Have you guys seen that commercial? It's the strangest thing. It's like one of those commercials that normally has like the soft music playing and just like the B-roll of a guy cleaning the pool or whatever. And it's for migraine control. And it's just Khloe Kardashian sitting there with like a white background telling me how whatever drug it is that she's pushing has really helped her overcome migraines. And I really want to know what that pitch was like. How is it that they said, you know what, we need to get a Kardashian to get our migraine medication off the ground? Who has migraines? Khloe.
Help my ignorance here, please, if you don't mind, because I am Kardashian ignorant. Khloe Kardashian, is she the one who was married to Lamar Odom?
Yeah. Yes. Were they fully married or were they partners? I think they were fully married. Either way, she's with Tristan now.
But the reason, right, and he continues to reportedly cheat on her, as all the gossip magazines do that.
Well, I mean, they've done a lot of work. Yeah, they've done a lot of work on the relationship. They were pictured together in that private island.
So help me.
I think she was with French Montana also, if we're going through the whole dating history.
Yeah. And I need to check my sources here, but there's a whole nother love triangle situation that Tristan Thompson's involved in, and oh boy.
All right, but before we get to any of that, I just want to head down this path because I told you I am simply – it's probably the first time I noticed my age in terms of it being problematic and a disconnect between the generations. I told you I felt it one time at a Kanye concert that I left early, but when they started on Highly Questionable – asking a whole bunch of questions about the Kardashians. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to talk about the Kardashians. The thing that I wanted to ask you guys about, because I believe my ignorance allows a weird prism into this, is my confusion with the Kardashians is at least in part because Khloe doesn't look anything like I remember Khloe looking the last time that I checked in on her. And I'm not talking about weight loss. I'm talking about she looks like a different Kardashian sister.
Done, she's done a lot of there's a lot of – what Sage Pokemon are we right now in the Khloe Kardashian? And there's it's also hard because the photos where she debuted her most recent look heavily altered too. So it's hard to tell exactly what she truly looks like. But
some people are late bloomers.
Yeah, much different. Yeah, the late bloomer. So here's, I got down to the bottom. And remember, they were pictured together on the private island that Kim was celebrating her 40th birthday. However, I'm sad to report that Khloe Kardashian has since unfollowed Tristan Thompson on Instagram. This comes days after the Larissa Pippen bombshell, where she revealed she had a fling with Tristan Thompson before he got together with Khloe.
Scottie Pippen's wife, ex-wife?
That's where the last name comes in from, Dan.
Larsa claims that Khloe knew that she showed up to the party that they met with, that he showed up with Larsa. So Khloe should know this. Stay tuned.
Oh, I heard that Larsa was blaming Kanye for the fallout with the Kardashian family.
Damn, I called her Larissa. I gotta up my game.
It's Pip.
I saw all these photos. Cardi B just came out and admitted it. She's like, yeah, I eat whatever I want on my Instagram feed because I'm getting liposuction like every other week. I'm like, she looks amazing, but every time I watch her Instagram stories, she's going to like La Brasa and just pigging out.
Do you remember when we developed a strange infatuation? If you don't remember the years at the beginning with the Miami Heat, LeBron and Dwayne Wade, and what a total circus it was at Heat games with Pippen's wife and everyone else trying to outdo each other. We developed a brief obsession with Pebbles the Model in terms of body-changing alterations. And Pebbles the Model would show up to Miami Heat games. Thank you, Stu Gatz, for just blowing a bunch of COVID in my face while clearing your throat.
I covered my hand.
Thank you.
It was Pebbles with a Z, by the way.
You covered your hand.
I mean, I put my hand over my mouth. What do you want from me?
So Pebbles the Model was a brief obsession. Did she end up going to jail?
Yeah, she served all her time. She's out, unless she got back in, but she was released from prison in 2018. She went to prison for homicide. Because it was a, you know, just a butt injection gone wrong. She injected somebody with cement.
She injected someone with cement because she had morphed. She sort of graduated from getting her own butt injected with an assortment of things that made it seem like she was sitting. Whenever she sat, it was totally disproportional to the rest of her body. But I want you to imagine one of those 1970s or 80s beanbag chairs and having that surgically sort of placed inside your jeans in a very tight fashion. And so Pebbles the Model was someone at Heat games who had a great deal of stardom just walking up and down the aisles with just a disproportionately giant butt. And I believe that our city, am I wrong about this? Will I find more of this in Colombia or Brazil? I believe our city is the hotspot for butt implants. I believe our city, that there is no other country or city in the universe that has the obsession with butt implants that Miami does.
I saw something a couple weeks back at a gas station that I wasn't exactly sure what it was, and it had to be explained to me. It was a butt implant, and it was, we were going to pump gas. We pulled up to the pump, and then there was a minivan next to us, and the minivan had the back door all the way open, and all the seats were down, and there was a woman just laying on her stomach, looking like Superman in the middle of the minivan, taking up what would be all of the rows on top of a bunch of pillows. And I was like, that is the strangest way to be traveling in a minivan.
Billy,
and
you saw a gas station surgery butt implant? I thought you originally with the Zoom actually said ass station instead of gas station. And it sounds like, what did you see in the back of that van, Billy?
What was explained to me is like, yeah, that's someone who's recovering from a butt implant. She can't sit on her butt to ride home, so she has to be laying on her stomach spread out across the entire minivan. And I don't know if that's officially – I had never considered it, right? I mean, you get a butt implant, and obviously you probably shouldn't sit on your butt right away. It never occurred to me, how is it that they get home? Because obviously all patients wouldn't be walking home, right? So I guess it makes sense, but I don't know if that's like – the official way that you would do it, if you go to like some official cosmetic surgery center, or that was like one of the garage ones, or how exactly that happened. But I did see, obviously everybody's seen the actual like butt implants walking around, because you're like, that does not make sense gravity wise. How does that even happen? That doesn't, it looks like you're walking like two chopsticks and a tomato. How is this going on?
Dan, I tracked down a study, but it's from 2015, where it ranked the countries with the most butt augmentation procedures. The United States is fourth. Wow. Now, your perspective on this might be skewed because you live in South Florida. We have a lot of transplants down here coming from other countries where they're probably getting...
Do you mean transplants like people or do you mean transplants with transplants?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
What's the top three?
The top three is... We'll go in... number three is Colombia.
Okay.
Which surprises no one here in Miami. Number two is Mexico and number one is Brazil.
I am surprised by that. I would argue, on behalf of my scientific research on this subject, I would argue that there's been changes in those rankings over the last 5 years, that the United States and Miami specifically is... Miami has to do it more than almost the rest of our country combined.
I think LA has to be considered, yeah.
Blood transplants... Well, I think a lot of the people that we see with blood transplants in Miami are also themselves transplants.
I already made that joke. The Latin.
It's just echoing your point.
People. This is
one of those situations where you're not getting the answer you want.
It is.
Yeah.
You want it to be Miami.
I mean,
yes.
It's close enough. I don't care. Like if it's one or four, I don't care. I just want to talk about ass implants, and I want to see who else has a story that involves like Billy does going to a gas station and learning something about the ass implant because. I imagine innocent Billy walking around Miami just minding his own business and then just sort of being shocked by the fact. I thought he was going to tell us that there was an ass transplant happening at the gas station right there while he was watching.
It was actually a Wawa, and don't call Wawa a gas station because Wawa defenders lose their minds when you say Wawa is just a gas station. But that's just
not,
an aside.
It is not a gas station. I will stand up for Wawa. It is not a gas station.
Great milkshakes.
Put it on the poll, is Wawa a gas station? Also put on the poll, based on some things we were talking about here, is Dolly Parton the greatest living American? Read about her if you don't know about her. I mean, beyond being a songwriter, her story is amazing, and she just seems like an overwhelmingly kind and generous-hearted person. But you guys were mentioning Pfizer, and can you help me with something here? Because I believe the story I'm about to tell is correct. But it might have some details that are wrong, but you mentioning Pfizer is what triggered it. So on Star Island, okay, Star Island in Miami is our most expensive properties. You will find, I don't know, 10, a dozen homes. A-Rod just bought a place there. Shaquille O'Neal had a place there. Gloria Estefan has lived there for a long time. And the rest is an enormous amount of money. That story I've told you before about... a woman of like a plastic surgeon coming out after a hurricane and seeing that Shaquille O'Neal was like clearing debris from his lawn, went over there without knowing it was Shaquille O'Neal and asked him to do her lawn next because she thought that just a giant dude picking up branches in the neighborhood, didn't know it was her neighbor, just thought Shaquille O'Neal got that big lifting branches evidently. But on that property, the biggest property, the one, and see if where my details are wrong here. The one, because I think Pfizer created Viagra. And if Pfizer created Viagra, then the head of that experiment was initially conducting, Stugatz, heart-related testing medication and by accident found an erectile medication. And that accident results in that property being covered in just hundreds of thousands of dollars in trees before you get to what the property actually is and how much it costs and what the house is.
You have to get to the forest?
You're talking about the trees that are planted on that property because someone at Pfizer ends up owning it and it comes from a medicinal mistake, basically, that you're trying to fix somebody's heart and next thing you know, you're producing boners.
I would have loved to have seen the face on the presiding doctor over that study, trying to figure out what the symptoms were of this heart medication going wrong. Pretty obvious to the eye at a certain point, I imagine.
That it kept happening.
At what point does he say, I think we might have something here? Is it like the seventh guy?
I remember it was Grant Hill who told us, and he had his career basically derailed. He's like, yeah, that's why they call it practicing medicine. They were just practicing on me. The idea that we're watching modern medicine trying to fix this thing for us as there's a rush toward dollars, as Bezos is getting in the pharmaceutical game, it's amazing to watch. I am a little startled, given American ingenuity and what it can produce, you know, internationally, intergalactically, with space travel and everything else. I'm a little surprised that the desperation of this hasn't, because there's so much money crazy around things, and when there's money around things, the competition that starts for that money, because somebody is about to get Pfizer Star Island rich with the production of this vaccine.
Will you be first in line to take it? Like, how are you going to navigate that when it does come out?
I'm disturbed by the fact that the richer countries are the only ones that are going to have access to this. So the rest of the world is not going to have an ability to get at some of this stuff at the beginning. But what do you mean? You think I'm just going to go take it?
Like, there are, I don't understand. There are some people who are very skeptical, and they're saying, people on the show who are saying they wouldn't take it until other people take it, and they see those people are okay.
But
actually works. I'll be first in line. I'll be the test dummy. I don't care.
Well, 95% success rate. I feel like when you're dealing with medicine, that's pretty damn good. Like, now the side effects, you don't want to be in the 5% that kills you, and there are side effects on almost all of this stuff, but I feel like just generally speaking, when it comes to medicine, in general, just any, you take me to the world's best surgeon, and you tell me he's got a 95% success rate on anything, that's going to be good by me, given how much unknown is there.
Well, the resources that have poured into this study should put your mind at ease, but I think, you know, an unprecedented vaccine rushed out in an unprecedented amount of time would be reasonable cause for skepticism, right?
I think so, but I think you should be afraid of just about everything, right? Both the solutions and the problems.
That's what I've been saying for years. Let me tell you something. I tried to make a doctor's appointment the other day just because I was like, you know, I think it's time for a little tune-up. Let me go to see my primary care doctor just to kind of check in, make sure everything's copacetic, as they say. And the person that answers the phone is like, well, the doctor can see you, but he's only doing appointments on Zoom. And I'm like, well, how's that going to happen? Like, that's right. Not going to help me at all. He's not even going to bang my knee with the little hammer. He's not going to do any blood work. Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to stick out my tongue up to the camera so that he can look down my throat and then be like,
Billy,
I think it looks like this.
There are so many things, businesses that have popped up during this. And one of them is the Zoom doctor, the ability, because I don't know about you guys. I haven't been able to make a dentist appearance. I used to go every 3 months to
the
dentist.
I don't want a dentist hands in my mouth. I don't think a dentist wants to put his hands in my mouth.
But so,
we're talking about a year, though, a year of you can't check in with a doctor in a meaningful way. Like, what other things have you guys been denied other than the obvious, right? Like, think just tune-ups. When you say copacetic, by the way, did you put a TH in there? I don't know what the word, how the word is.
I thought it was copacetic.
Copacetic.
But did you put a TH in the middle of that, Billy?
I don't like my eyelids.
I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. I thought it was copacetic. But how do you think it's spelled?
How do I think? Oh, wow. Okay, hold on a second. Copacetic.
I mean, get the K out of the way, Billy. It's easy. I mean,
C-O.
What?
Hold on. Can I Google this or do I have to just kind of
No.
Guess? I mean, we're Googling it means you're probably going to get it right. We're kind of just waiting to see if you have a TH in it or not.
I think it's C.
Now you're reading off your computer.
No. C-O. I'll close my eyes. C-O.
Peaked.
P.
Yeah.
A?
I think so.
Copa.
Mm-hmm.
S-T. H.
Your eyes open on Zoom.
Is it COPA? Like, is it? I thought it's COPE.
Like Copa Cabana.
Oh.
All right. So we've got our answer.
I was wrong.
I'm like a dog with a bone with this one.
Can you spell limousine?
Ooh, that's a tough one. L-I-M-O.
I watched last night, Mike. I watched The Bachelorette last night.
Yeah, there's this guy from Harvard. and they were trying to find out who was like the total package, who's like the most manly man, who was a grown ass man. And this guy from Harvard, Bennett, who's just there as like comedic relief, really, he's got no real shot. He's there and he's the Harvard guy, and they're given like simple math problems, and he gets it wrong, and he also can't spell limousine.
There's always a Harvard guy, right? On all these shows, there's the Harvard guy. Do you think that Harvard guy is like the disgrace of the class that like didn't finish and like took two credits? Because I feel like all the other Harvard guys are like running businesses or hosting The Daily, right? And they look at the people on The Bachelor and are like, what is this?
Is Harvard that expensive just because people keep the email handle?
The people who go to Harvard, I think we can say this about, I think, more than Oxford, more than any place in the world. If you go to Harvard, you're most likely to have it known that you went to Harvard.
What about Juilliard?
Oh, yeah.
You think people hit you over the head with, I went to Juilliard?
I know they hit you over the head with Juilliard, yeah.
In more certain circles, yeah.
More than Harvard? Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Who's more likely to hit you with their bona fides, their collegiate bona fides? Juilliard or Oxford or Harvard?
Maybe Yale.
Can I make the argument that going to Harvard's a negative? I feel like going to Harvard's a negative.
I feel like it's a terrible argument.
Just some people, like you meet them.
Where is this guy? I'm interested in this. Let's see where this goes.
Why, the expectations?
You hold it against somebody?
You just, it's just like, oh, I went to Harvard. It's like, can't you just say somewhere else? Say Yale. Like, just Harvard, just get, like, I meet them. I mean, Pablo's an outlier. He's, like, really nice. But, like, outside of Pablo, you meet somebody that says they went to Harvard, and you're just like, I
Chris, have
like
you ever met anybody else that's gone to Harvard ever?
I don't think you have.
All the time. Like, Bennett. Bennett on The Bachelorette. It's a good example. Like,
he's not your friend.
I liked Bennett until he said, I went to Harvard.
Who else do you know that has gone to Harvard?
Name one.
A bunch of people.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick doesn't count.
Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick. He went
His friend Joey.
My friend Joey went to Harvard.
That's a made-up person.
Did Jeremy Lin go there?
That is not a person. That is not a song.
That is not a song.
Didn't Dominique go to Harvard Business School?
Yes,
he did. So you know, too. They're nice.
Wow. Yeah. I like Dominique a little less than I did before.
Wow.
I think Mina went to Yale.
Yes.
And, see?
Did Sarah went to, did she go to Brown?
Cornell,
yeah. Ooh, sorry.
We got a bunch of Ivy Leaguers and Chris and Stugat.
But Harvard looks down at Cornell. They do. They look down at everyone.
I think they look down at everybody, except I think they look down at Yale, but Yale makes it difficult to look down at Yale.
You're saying Yale and Harvard on the same?
I think of them synonymously. Am I wrong about it? Well, I think of them the same way, and I think of them as being higher. But that just might be branding. Like, it's not based on anything. I just think Harvard and Yale graduates, if you ask me, what are the most prestigious universities to graduate from? It's those two. And weirdly, I would go Stanford as well before some of the Ivy League.
Harvard and Yale gets together once a year and they all laugh at Brown, right? Like,
oh, careful. Yeah. That's Chris Berman's alma mater.
That's why they're laughing. Boomer.
Mike, Pablo is expecting your call here. I would like for him to defend Harvard and answer some of the questions. We could we could play Ask an Ivy Leaguer here because
you rang.
I do think there is something. It would be a burden to go to Harvard. Like, the expectations coming out of Harvard, it's like going to USC and being a quarterback. And if you're not good, everyone laughs at you and mocks you. If you're not productive, if you wind up on The Bachelor after graduating from Harvard, I am with Chris. I think people are judging you. They are mocking you. I would want nothing to do with Harvard. I'm glad I passed up that opportunity.
Have any of you guys actually been to Harvard? Like, walked the grounds
of
Harvard?
No, I went to a music festival there.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So, like, when it goes on The Bachelorette and says went to Harvard, like, do we mean attended Harvard or went on a tour? Because I went to Harvard also.
Yeah, me too. All right. They ran me off.
So Pablo Torre, ESPN Daily, check it out. He's put his imprint on that thing after inheriting the tortoise shell from Mina Kimes.
Those promos a bit overproduced, though.
Every day. Yeah. I'll tell you the most important sports story ever.
Here's another thing I want you to know.
That's like Joe Tessitore.
All right, so that is not welcoming to Pablo Torre.
Oh, he's on the line.
Yes, he's right there.
I wouldn't have said that. So what are the guys?
Love the Daily.
Right here.
Every day.
So what are the questions we want to ask him? First of all, is it fair to say Harvard and Yale are synonyms? Are you the wrong person to ask because Harvard people are snobs about things like Yale?
Yeah, of course they're not synonyms. That's like asking if, I was going to say, that's like saying, is America a synonym for Canada? And now I'm realizing that that's totally flipped in terms of the metaphor. No, they're not the same. Not at all the same. Are you kidding me? Look at any sort of objective ranking of things. No, Yale is the number. I mean, do you guys want me to play the character? Because I will give you all sorts of my hot takes on Yale being inferior. And I actually do believe that. So,
okay,
yeah,
Pablo,
no,
it's
Yale
not playing the character, Pablo. It's who you are. So right. Go ahead. Tell us.
I mean, if you want to be real about this, I think I'm being too real here. But Mina Kimes got rejected from Harvard. What else do you need to know?
Oh, snap. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Do we have any other questions, or should we just end there and sort of take a smoke break here? All right, I'm going outside to have a cigarette. Pablo, we'll talk to you more about this tomorrow.
See you.